I'm sure David did not understand why Saul was doing what he's doing, but it didn't matter. Whether he understood it or not, he was going to submit to Saul's leadership. Why do I keep talking about this? We are to submit to God. And if you submit to God only when you agree with everything he's doing in your life, that's not submission. If you're submitted to him only as long as you understand what he's doing in your life, that's not submission. And at some point, you're going to get to a crossroads where you don't understand, and you need to follow the Lord. You need to submit to what he's doing in your life. It's better to make that decision tonight than when you get at that crossroads.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, one of David McGee's assisting pastors is with us. Welcome, Pastor Neil.
Thanks for letting me be here with you today, Bob. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. And Pastor David's going to be talking about today submitting to others, submitting to God, and the blessing that that is in our lives.
Submitting, what does that mean?
I know it's a difficult word. No one likes it, but there's a huge blessing in submitting to God, giving our lives over to Him, trusting Him, and trusting Him with the leaders He's put in place.
So let's get right into 1 Samuel chapter 24 with David McGee teaching verse by verse.
Now what's going on is David has been anointed to be king, but he's not king yet. Saul is still king, and to be honest, long story short, Saul's starting to lose it. He's very paranoid, he's very self-centered, and what we see is his life continuing to fall apart as he continues to run from God and disobey God, and time again he gets the opportunity to repent, and time again he doesn't do it. And now he's chasing David around the country, attempting to kill David, who has been one of his most faithful and loyal and powerful soldiers. So that's what's happening now. Last week we talked about, you know, David in the desert and David in this place called En-Gedi. We realize that sometimes we'll go through desert experiences and sometimes we'll have those places of great comfort and rest like En-Gedi is. And that brings us to this chapter 24 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1, it says, "Now it happened when Saul returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, 'Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, 'This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord.'" This is David's response. Look at the respect that he has for Saul. Some teachers take this verse and they say, so this means that anybody that God has anointed, you know, you should never speak against. You know what? There's some people out there that God has mysteriously anointed that, I mean, they say heretical things. They say unbiblical things. And it's really, it's a challenge not to point that out. But we need to be real careful with that. But I do think it's kind of a stretch to make that application. The application here, Saul is in a place of leadership over David. And I think the obvious application is that David was still submitted to Saul's leadership. And that's challenging and that's convicting. Because Saul very obviously wasn't following the Lord. Saul very obviously was trying to kill David. And yet David was still submitted to Saul. There was still a respect that David had. I'm not sure he still respected Saul as a man, because Saul had really messed up, but he still respected the office that Saul had as king. There's an interesting verse, Romans 13:1. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Here's the challenge. Sometimes as God raises up a man in this fellowship, he'll come to me and he'll affirm, you know, you're my pastor, I'm following you, I'm with you. Here's what I know, here's what I've learned. I won't really know until that person is following me and submitted to my leadership until we disagree. When we disagree, that's when I'll know. See, because as we're walking together and we're agreeing about everything, that's not really submission. That's just agreement. But when I'm leading in a different direction or doing something else and this man is called to follow me in the ministry, I'm going to find out. Now, I'm not talking about having yes people. You know, I've got a board, there's elders, and these men are not yes men. If they think I'm wrong about something, they say, hey, brother, you know, we need to do this like that or not like that, and they'll tell me. But in that case, if I say, well, I appreciate you sharing that with me, but I really think this is what God has laid on my heart to do, these men have the integrity to say, okay, I let you know what I felt on my heart. Now I'm following you. Now I'm with you. Now we're not going to talk about it again. That's real biblical submission. And maybe you're sitting there and go, well, I'm not an elder right now, so what does all this matter? You have relationships where you're called upon to submit to someone else. The Bible makes that clear. Some of those relationships are a wife submitting to her husband. Now, if the wife only submits to the husband in the times when she agrees with him, that's not submission. It's in those times where she doesn't agree with him, but she realizes that if he's wrong, God's going to be the one to deal with him, and she walks with him, even though he might be wrong. Maybe you got a boss at work. Maybe you feel like you have the stupidest boss in the world. I hope the staff here doesn't think that. But so I'm looking out, I'm seeing the faces of staff, and they're like, yeah, amen, bro. Pray for me. Do you still understand God placed him or her in a position over you, and you're still to submit? That's tough, isn't it? Maybe you're a child in here. You still live at home. And, of course, you think your parents are the stupidest people in the world. Doesn't matter. God says you're supposed to submit to them, even if they're wrong. Now, I like what Mark Twain says. He says, at 16, my dad was the most ignorant man on the face of the earth. And at 21, I was surprised at how much he'd learned in 5 years. And why is this concept so important? Because you can always find something wrong with somebody that's over you to give you a reason to rebel against them. You don't have to look very hard. And once you get to know them at all, you're going to see something go, oh, well, look at that. My goodness, I'm not following you. But see, here's the thing. Let's make a more spiritual application here. What about when you don't understand something God's doing? And let me assure you, friend, there will be some point in your life you will not understand what God is doing in your life. And if your submission to God is based upon your understanding and your agreement, when you hit that place, you're going to bail. You're going to rebel. But that's the place you find out if you're really submitted to the plan of God. Now, maybe you're sitting there and go, well, you don't know how, you know, what all's going on in my life and what all's wrong with my life. I know some of the stories in this book. I know I see David here already anointed to be king, a godly, brave man who's getting chased around the desert by King Saul. And still somehow David is submitted to the plan of God in his life. I remember the life of Joseph. His brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit, sold him to be a slave. Then just when he's getting ahead in Potiphar's life, he's unjustly, wrongly accused and thrown in prison. And yet the whole time, he submitted to the plan of God. Submission is, it's a tricky thing. But we see here in David something very beautiful. Saul is obviously losing it. David is still submitted. And David is next in line to be king. You hear tales and whatnot of assisting pastors, you know, forcing the senior pastor out or head elder forcing the senior pastor out. And then you look at this. And David in this story, he says, you know what, God, it's your problem, God. You're going to deal with him in your time. And not only does David do it here, but we're going to see later in his life, he was willing to do it when he was king. When Absalom tried to overthrow him, David said, well, God, if it's your will, I'm just going to leave Jerusalem. And if it's your will, he be king instead of me, I'm out of here. Man, what an incredible man. What an incredible leader. In verse 7, so David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. And David also arose afterward, went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. This is amazing stuff. Look at this verse. David calls him my Lord. Calls him the king. Stoops with his face to the earth and bows to Saul. Man, this is convicting, isn't it? I'll bring this into a personal application. There are some good reasons to leave a church. I think the primary reason to leave a church is there's some sort of heresy being taught, or the Word of God's not being taught. I think in either case, you don't stick around to figure it out. You don't stick around to fix it because, well, usually you're not in a place to fix it. I mean, if the pastor himself has decided he's not going to teach the Bible, you sitting there week after week is not going to convince him to teach the Bible. But I think a lot of times what happens is we get in a church environment and we stick around until we figure out that there's sinners in that church, which, you know, depending on the church, takes anywhere from a year to a couple days. And then we say, well, I'm out of here. There's sinners here. The ever classic. Church is filled with hypocrites. How many of you have heard that before? How many of you have used that one before? Be honest. You know, the sad thing is there is some truth in there, but we're called to do a holy mission, and we still mess up sometimes. So there is that rub. There's that knowing what we should do and what we do. A lot of times, we submit to leaders as long as we agree with them. We'll stay in a church as long as we agree with everything that's being done, everything that's going on in that church. But you know, if you're looking at a church that way, you're never going to find a church. If your criteria is that you agree with everything they do, you're done. You're not going to have a church ever on the face of this planet. You will never be able to call a church your home because you will never agree 100% with everything that goes on in any church, period. Now, should you agree with the majority of what goes on? Absolutely. And if you hit 80%, you're doing great. If you hit 90%, awesome. 95%, man, praise God. That's about the best you're going to do.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, these are free resources to help you anytime, day or night, during these difficult times. David wants to offer you peace where it could be lacking, help in your time of need, and build you up with these free resources at youareloved.org. Now, back to David McGee.
Now, perhaps you're sitting there and you're going, well, Pastor David, you know, you God speaks to you about the way to do things, and certainly you agree with 100% of everything that goes on here. No, I don't. There's stuff that goes on here that I don't agree with. But, you know, we've got staff and team leaders and elders, and some of them want to do things a certain way, and God has anointed them and gifted them to lead a certain portion of the ministry. I'm like, well, God bless you. If you think this is the way to go, do it like that, you know. And then perhaps sometimes in the back of my mind, I'm thinking we'll meet again in a month and I'll tell you what went wrong, you know. But there's a freedom and a grace in ministry there. We have to do that. We have to have that in our lives. A life lesson here. We should submit to God and to the leaders that God has placed in our lives. We should submit to God and to the leaders that God has placed in our lives. Now, I've got godly leaders in my life. And, you know, I had a board meeting a couple weeks ago, and I thought the best way to do something was this way. And they came up and said, I don't think that's the best way. So I prayed about it, talked to a couple other brothers, and so we ended up doing it their way. Now, I could have, you know, well, absolutely not. But, you know, these are godly men that God has placed in my life to speak into my life. I recognize that. And so somehow, even in the midst of all this, David's recommending, he's seeing this in Saul. He still had respect for the position. He still had respect for the office. I'm sure David did not understand why Saul was doing what he's doing, but it didn't matter. Whether he understood it or not, he was going to submit to Saul's leadership. Why do I keep talking about this? We are to submit to God. And if you submit to God only when you agree with everything He's doing in your life, that's not submission. If you're submitted to Him only as long as you understand what He's doing in your life, that's not submission. And at some point, you're going to get to a crossroads where you don't understand. And you need to follow the Lord. You need to submit to what He's doing in your life. It's better to make that decision tonight than when you get at that crossroads. There's been things in my life that I didn't understand. I don't know why God did them. You know, I've got an older brother. He had two daughters. One of those daughters died when she was 18 months old. Had one remaining daughter. A couple years ago, she's 23. She died as well. He doesn't have any children. I can't imagine the pain and the anguish that this man feels on a daily basis. I don't understand that. But it's not my job to understand it. I just submit to God's plan for my life, for his life, and for those children. And here's the difficult place I find myself in as pastor sometimes. People will get in a tough patch and they'll come to me and say, Pastor, I don't understand why God, and I try to stop them, go, wait a minute. If you think that during this conversation, I'm going to be able to enlighten you on why God is doing a certain something in your life, I probably can't. I may be able to shed some scriptural light on it. I may be able to tell you what your response should be. But as far as really explaining why God is doing something, I don't know. But here's the thing. I submit to God's plan. And friend, you know what? You can fight against that. And you can sit in here and say, well, I'm not doing it. I'm going to submit to God as long as I agree with His plan. I'm going to submit to God as long as I understand His plan. If I don't understand it, I don't agree with it, I'm not going to submit to it. Friend, you're going to live a hard life. Because you're going to be tested a lot. I got saved in a teen challenge. And, you know, it was a place for drug addicted and alcohol addicted people to go. And the director, he was an interesting fellow. And he did something that some of you probably questioned, but when you were new there and you got in trouble, and I got in trouble twice each day, and he would get up in your face and raise his voice. And there I'm this rebellious street punk thug kid. And yeah, every time he did that, you know, he'd get in my face, he'd raise his voice, and I'd get on my toes and buck up. And that went on back and forth, until one day he rebuked me. And I just stood there. I knew I'd earned it. I knew I'd messed up. He was just correcting me. And I was like, you're right. And that was the last time he did it. See, each one of those times was a test. And I so miserably failed most of them as I, you know, bucked up. Here we see David going through this. And David's so soft-hearted. He says, God, you know what? He knows he can't trust Saul. He's not going to trust Saul ever again. But he knows he can trust God. See, maybe some of you are sitting and you're looking at life and go, well, I don't know if I can ever trust this person again. Maybe you shouldn't ever trust that person again. But trust God. Verse 9. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Now look at this. It's interesting. It's a couple groups of people. Saul's people were telling him, David's trying to kill you. And Saul listened. David's people said, you should kill Saul. And David didn't listen. A life lesson here, be careful who you listen to and take advice from. Be careful who you listen to and take advice from. If somebody's advice is not biblically based, you should throw it away. Well, no, Pastor, that's a massive oversimplification. No, it's not. You get an unscrupulous attorney, you might wind up in prison. You get an unscrupulous tax accountant, I can almost promise you you're going to have some problems. But if you get somebody that's applying biblical principles to their lives, then they're giving you godly counsel and you can heed it. Be careful with that one. David realized that God was still in charge. And God did deliver Saul into David's hands that cave. What are the chances that Saul came into the very cave that David and his men were hiding out? But that's what God did. Now some said, hey David, God did this so that you can kill Saul. Was that the reason? No. God did that so he could test David. Whoa. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. What do you do when God delivers your enemy into your hands? Your reaction, your response tells a lot about your heart and your relationship with the Lord. The cool thing is, I say test, and some of you get this thing back in school. Well, great, if I do well, I pass. If I fail, it's all over. No, that's not true. In Christianity, thank God. When you pass, you realize that God is becoming stronger and stronger in your life. When you fail, you realize how desperate for grace you still are. Either way, there's something that you can take home with you. Either our desperate need for grace or understanding God's working in our life. Verse 11, moreover, my father, see. Now, Saul's his father-in-law to make all this stuff worse. Moreover, my father, see. Yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. Friend, that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Verse 12, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. This is amazing stuff. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And sometimes we want to jump in and help. But we shouldn't do that. We should wait on the Lord. Verse 13, as the proverb of the ancients says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. Meaning, he's talking about characters revealed by conduct. And it's interesting, look at the context of what he's saying that to Saul in this context. Saul's trying to kill him. David just let him escape. And then David's saying, you know what? Characters revealed by conduct. How do you think Saul felt when he realized what he was saying? And again, you know, I have a saying that, you know, if somebody's speaking evil against you, doing evil against you and all that stuff, it could be worse. You could be them. Instead, be patient and watch the Lord come through. Now, here's the thing. Jesus, he asked us to do something in the New Testament. He says, when people are evil against you, when they hurt you, when they speak evil against you, when they do unkind things, love them. Pray for them. Remember in the book of Matthew, he says, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2. You might not understand the context of the setting there. A Roman soldier could go up to any person, any Jewish person, and said, hey, carry my 50-pound sack. And they were forced to carry it for at least a mile. Couldn't carry it over a mile. Couldn't make them carry it more than a mile, because quite frankly, sometimes they'd kill them because the stuff was so heavy. But they had to carry it a mile. And to that crowd, Jesus says, hey, when they ask you to carry it for a mile, these guys that you hate, and are ripping you guys off through taxes, carry it too. See, here's the thing. There's three kind of dynamics in relationships here. Number one, repay kindness with evil, and that's demonic. If somebody's kind to you and you're evil back to them, that's demonic. That's terrible. But you will experience that in your Christian life. You've probably done it to people, and people will do it to you, but it's wrong and it's bad. Repay kindness with kindness or evil with evil. That's just humanity. That's the way, you know, and Jesus points this out. He says, look, you know, if somebody's nice to you, you're nice back. Big deal. Everybody in the world does that. It just makes common sense. It's in your own best interest. But repay evil with kindness? That's a tough one. But that's what Jesus told us to do. Just here's what I want you to do. Somebody's mean to you, pray for them. Somebody's hurtful to you, love on them. See, here's Jesus telling us to do something impossible again. You can't do this. You're in your own human effort, there's no way. You cannot keep this up for any length of time. But whenever Jesus tells us to do something, it becomes possible. You can do it. If Jesus says, love your enemies, guess what's possible? You can love your enemies. If Jesus says, pray for your enemies, guess what's possible? You can pray for your enemies. Jesus modeled this behavior.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please, pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe You died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe You were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for You all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.